Down and out like last week. Tell me, where the fuck have you been?
Where have I been?
Yes.
Protecting my energy from the world, I guess. Where have
Are you
you been?
protecting the world from your energy, or were you protecting your energy from the world, huh? Let me know. Let me know.
Man. I'm on my
'Cause
drink shit.
we don't need more than one Drake out here in the world, okay?
Right. He thought that was the hardest bar ever, too, when he was in the studio.
He still does.
He said, they're going to feel it. They're going to feel this one.
Of course, he still does.
I wonder what Brent was thinking in the studio when he made that album.
Wait, hold on. If there was one artist that you could receive all of their unreleased music, who would it be? And why?
Give me Pharrell. Come on. I feel like his discography speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying? Like his illustrious beats, his production, his sound choice for every project he's putting out or collaborated with another artist. You know what I'm saying? He's a unicorn, and we'll never have another Pharrell like that again. So, I'll take Pharrell. What about you? I said we'll never have another Pharrell like that. Like, it's a bunch of Pharrells running around.
Give me, I don't know. I want to say somebody like Wale, but at the same time, I want to say somebody like, like somebody that we can't get music from anymore, like a Michael Jackson or like
I'll take some
Prince.
unreleased Prince. I was gonna say Prince also. That was gonna be my follow-up.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at some Purple Rain Deluxe 2.0.
He wouldn't do that though.
He wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I would name it on my hard drive. But yeah, don't stray away from what I was saying. I wonder what Brent was thinking in the studio when he put out Wasteland. We
So
gotta
I
get.
actually like it.
I know you like it.
And I mean, I'm not, you're gonna call it a cape, you're gonna call it whatever, but I'm not gonna say the whole album is amazing and like what I wanted, but I like it.
You have the
Like,
Stephen
cool.
Strange cape in the background ready to go. It's going to be moving for you.
No, listen. Honestly, like so I will say the skits on there were a little bit much for me. Especially the one, I think it's like the last one. It was a little much. 'Cause yeah, wake up call, it was a little much. I didn't know how to really feel about it. And I didn't know, like, I want to know. So he tweeted before this came out. He was like, I don't apologize for the person that I'm about to be once this album drops. And I want to know what that meant, just because like it has a very like specific theme to it. Like it from the song titles to the track list, the skits, it has a very specific thing to it. So I mean, I don't know, but it's cool to me. Like I give it maybe like, let me see. I'm going back to Gravity Was Already Out. I'm going back to Loose Change. I'm going back to All Mine. I'm going back to Ghetto Gatsby, Jackie Brown, Angel. Like it's a couple of them on here, more than half of the album I'm going back to. So
Listen, I didn't listen to the
yeah.
entire project, but put it like this. For one, I'm tired of the stigma of people saying that he's, the toxic prince, toxic king, and all this stuff. To me, it's pretty repetitive on the stuff he raps about. He's rapping about the women, he's rapping about the drugs, which is weed or whatever other vice is his choice. He's rapping about the money, and he's rapping about, I guess, how jaded he is from, I guess, relationships. I really don't know. But put it like this. We had the album on at my job, and one of the managers took our HomePod away. Let's just say that. So I don't know if it was because it was just bad quality of music, or I don't know, but just put it like that. And then when I got a chance to circle back and listen to it in the whip, for me, it was just like, this is lazy lyricism to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the beat selection was okay. It's a couple songs on there. Like, he threw the Wasting Time on there again. He threw the song with Tyler on there again for streams. I get it. Get your bag, get your shit off. But I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't attention grabbing for me. And I haven't heard the women talk about it. You know, usually when a Brent project drops or even a single, they'll be the first to let everybody know, like, look, this is, he just dropped this masterpiece. You know what I'm saying? But since this has came out for the past week, I haven't heard any, I don't know. I know I've been off of social media too, so I think that has a percentage to do with it. But usually the women are a little bit more hyped for Brent, Fayez or Fayez, whatever his last name is. Sorry if I'm butchering it, but usually they're more hyped.
So why do you say it's lazy though? Like lazy because he didn't give you what you wanted?
I think it's lazy because it's the same.
You didn't say anything like that about this last Drake album that you didn't like.
What you mean?
When Drake dropped the last underwhelming project that he dropped.
CLB?
No. Never mind.
Honestly, never mind.
Yeah.
No, I said it was cool. I said this was the first time in his career he really experimented with his sound. You can kind of say that with Views, but you know, there's some songs on that, honestly, never mind, I'm never going back to, but there's a selection of songs that I am going back to also. So, I mean,
maybe, and you know, everybody has an opinion, obviously, because it has been a lot of more like negative responses that I've gotten from the Brent Project as well. Like a lot of my friends that are like Brent Vengers, they didn't
Brent really Vengers.
Like, yeah, they didn't really like it either. But I mean, I think it might just take some more time. I don't know. Cause I mean, in my opinion, like I said, it's cool. It may not be a project that you can play everywhere. You know what I'm saying? That just might just be one of the, I guess, realities of it. But I always want to know, like, you know what I'm saying? What the inspiration was behind it. But I don't know.
And also, I think over the past couple of years, there's been a few male acts that have taken over his shine. You know what I'm saying? From Lucky Day to Blast to Aaron Ray. You know what I'm saying? So I think when Brent was quiet after he put out that album, because that last time he put out, it was fire to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To me, it was those skips. It was short, concise, great music. You knew what you was getting. But this time around, I guess I was trying to see there was any growth or separation or experimentation from his last project to now. And I don't know, I didn't catch that off of first or second listen. I'm gonna listen to the second half of the album this week also, so I can give you more of my sentiments next week.
Nah, I feel you. Yeah, it's definitely something that like I've only listened to like in my room, like chilling when I'm just like downtime and I'm just really not like, you know what I'm saying, on nothing for real. But it's all right. I digress. It's cool. I'm still gonna cape for my man's regardless. And I don't call him the Toxic Prince or whatever. But you're right, he has, you know what I'm saying, been rapping about the same or saying about the same shit for a good minute. So that experimentation I feel like might do him some justice. But then at the same time, I mean, you know what you know, right? Like you stick to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool.
But I didn't mean to jump the gun. I know we haven't even talked about our mentals, how we're doing, how was our week. We didn't even introduce the pod. So listen, how you feeling, King? How's your mental? How you feeling?
I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I just been real busy. I just been moving a lot. So if it's not like work, you know what I'm saying? I just been not necessarily outside, but like just doing stuff. So I just been trying to get, you know what I'm saying, my affairs in order type shit, but I'm cool though. You know what I'm saying? My mental is well, I'm healthy. We good. I can't complain. You know, how's everything on your side?
I'm excellent. I can't complain. Life is great right now. Still on my sabbatical from social media as well. Just kind of tapping in, like I was saying last week, just more into myself, you know, my people, things of that nature. So that's been laying low, staying out the way. You know what I'm saying? Just happy, just being Trey.
Shit.
I haven't been doing too much of nothing lately. Just been, you know, working, same old. But yeah, my mental was great. My heart is great. I can't complain.
Got you. Well, shit, we might as well introduce this thing.
Yes, Sirski. Peace and love. What's going on? It's Trey.
And it's Scott checking back in, man.
Welcome back to the Bro Chillians podcast, episode 157.
157? Shit. I low-key lost count for real. But damn, I'm 57 of them guys. Yeah, we in here.
I hope you know every week I come in here and just guess the number. Like, next week I'm going to say episode 200.
Shit, and they going to believe it. It's all good.
We going to shout out the first timers.
The last timers.
And the in-betweeners.
For coming back, man, week after week, showing much love, however you do it, whether it is liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing, turning that post notification bell on, you know what I'm saying? Because we on everything. We doing this shit for a minute now. But yeah, 157, let's tap in. The docket is like really, really like, it's nothing. You know what I'm saying?
It's chill for you, you know what I'm saying? It's a chill thing. Did you want to be Segway King this week, or how you want to do it?
I think we should both be Segway King.
Okay.
I think we should Kobe and Shaq this week. No, you Kobe, I'm Shaq.
I mean, we were already talking about music at the beginning of the pod, so I think we should kind of stay there for a moment. Was there any other sentiments you have to say about the Brent Faiyaz album, Wasteland?
I think I want something else. Like something more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool with what he dropped for this being his third or fourth album. But I want some I think it was kind of like a dark Brent, you know what I'm saying? Like it was real like expletive of what he got going on, maybe like just to let us in his life per se, which is why like the skits were so dark and shit. So I want something that's like summer vibes, you know what I'm saying? Something that I can like jig to with my lady or just be outside and be drunk as hell at brunch, singing my heart out to Brent. You know what I'm saying? I want something of like that type of bag. So,
and that was another thing I was going to ask you. How do you feel about skits in 2022? You know, something that was something of the past. 90s, shit, even late 80s, early 2000s, mid 2000s. You know, I still know there's a lot of artists out here try to sprinkle in, you know, some kind of story when it comes to dropping a project. Are we still here for skits? Because most people, I'm not going to say most. I think it's a split community on that. Some people are for it. Some people are just like, nah, just give me the music.
I'm still for it. Like, I appreciate it because skit, as long as it's like, you know what I'm saying, woven in the music well. I don't think that in this case, Brent's skits, I think, kind of outweighed the songs, just because they were so like heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, saying like the very last skit, like he got into an accident and he lost his lady or whatever happened type shit. It was just like, damn, bro, like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? It added to the story, but maybe not added to the music type shit. But as long as like the skits come well within the music, I'm cool with it. Like, I like that type of shit.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's a lost art, and even it's appreciated, underappreciated, if you ask me. You know, Wale, the album About Nothing, with what's his face,
Barry Sonnenfeld.
Yeah, like if it was another artist who made the same album, and you take Wale's name out, you put, I don't know, let's say Drake, since it's handy for this conversation, like people would have lost their mind. But since it's Wale, I feel like we appreciate it, me and you, because we're avid listeners of him. But to the average consumer of music, they're not jumping out their chairs, if that makes sense.
Nah, it definitely makes sense. I don't see Drake doing that, though. I don't see Drake giving us skits for it.
And I just use them for example. I mean, whoever the artist was, if it was a bigger act than Wale, they would have treated that album like the Holy Grail.
Yeah, it would have hit different for sure. I think I'm not gonna say like music needs more of skits per se in like albums, but I will say like the storytelling has become like a lost art in music, and that's what I appreciate a lot about it. But then that's just my opinion. A lot of people just like, yeah, just let me, like, you know what I'm saying, ride the beat. Let me find that's, a vibe.
Yeah, like, music has been very. You ever tasted like cream of wheat? You ever had that?
Yes, I have. I don't like it.
Music has been like that lately. It's been very bland. You know what I mean? And to your point, talking about substance, again, it's the repetitive, constant. I guess when you're talking about hip hop, in a sense, it's for the most part, the same story, the same message over and over. You know, you have those unicorns, you know, you have the Kendricks, you have the Coles that you know, go into a different bag. But for the most part, you know, this 808 trap type music, it's here to stay. But I don't know, I'm just ready for something different. And then even when it comes to R&B, I told you the women out here killing it, and I like it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Breezy just dropped the album last week or the week before. We were just talking about the Grant Reyes album. But, you know, you have a couple sprinkles of men in there when it comes to the R&B scene right now. But I think outside of that, still give me SZA, give me Snow, Summer Walker. I'm taking that currently. Alex Isley. Like, it's a lot of different women out here killing it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Speaking of Stevie, did you hear the deluxe?
Yeah, and I turned that shit off with Expedience.
Wow, not your boy C Breezy.
Yeah, he tweaked on that one. I mean, I don't even know if he tweaked. I think it's just a matter of he's playing the algorithm games. These songs may be trendy and dance worthy to go on TikTok, Instagram. It's for a bigger mass audience. It's not for Trey Matthews in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't think he had me in mind when he made that. But
yeah, I'm dead.
I wasn't here for it. I know he dropped 9 additional tracks, and that's why I told you a few weeks back when we were talking about deluxe albums. That's another one of those things where I could live without it. 9 times out of 10, if it's not really an artist I want to hear from, I'm not going back to the deluxe album. Those are just throwaway tracks that didn't make your album for a reason.
I definitely can agree with you to an extent. Sometimes, like, the deluxe is just not asked for. And it really didn't, like, progress the album just because you put a couple more joints on the back end. But then again, you know what I'm saying? You do have those ones where it's like, I wanted the deluxe, the songs that you put on the deluxe on the original album type shit. I don't think that happens often, but...
Yeah, not trying to cut you off, but going back to why I think artists drop deluxe projects is because it gives them that nostalgic feeling of when the early to mid 2000s, when people dropped deluxe albums, it was actually substance on there. It was replay value worthy. It was a thought process put into it versus now it's like, oh, we're just going to give them an additional 5 to 7 songs, get a big artist to come on it, stream the album more. That's all it is. You know what I'm saying? I dropped the album 2 weeks ago. Let me be in your algorithms one more time because I don't know when's the next time I'm dropping music. Here you go. Stream it. Peace. That's what it seems like to me. You know what I'm saying? No shade to Breezy, because again, I feel like overall the album itself was great. But I just think this addition added on to it, I was good on it.
He's definitely not listening anymore. I'm sorry to say that, but
am I coming in with hate this week? I just feel like that's too right there off the bat. I'm just throwing hate.
I'm not gonna say hate, but you know, say everybody got their opinion for sure. Like, and I'll agree with you too, though. Like, I wasn't crazy about the 9 add-ons that he put on here. It was cool, but like I could have, yeah, I didn't need it. Maybe like 1 or 2 of them are you know what I'm saying, something that I'm downloading or, like, you know what I'm saying, playing the whip. But outside of that, I'm good on it.
Even the Anderson .Paak record, I was expecting way more. You know what I'm saying?
I was too. I did get a chance to listen to Bino, though. That shit slap.
Mm-hmm.
That shit hard. That Out of Line, that Ty Dolla feature.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. He went nuts on that. He went nuts. The intro and the song he got with Roddy Ricch, I fuck with it.
It's definitely vibey for sure. Now this is something different that I have recently added to my bag, but that Burna Boy joint, that motherfucker slaps now.
Now listen, I haven't listened to it yet because I already know what time it is when I hear that Burna Boy on. I'm saving that for my weekend.
Hey man, listen, just make sure that you and your shorty are somewhere outside with a bottle and, you know what I'm saying, vibey but fucky type of shit, because that right there, that motherfucker, like, when I tell you me and shorty was listening to that joint at the crib.
Yeah.
And I had the bottle in one hand and the juice in the other hand, bro. She was dirty whining on my shit. Hey, bro. It was a good vibe. Like,
how you say it?
Hey, I don't know. I don't fucking know. Okay, she was dirty whining on my shit.
Oh, all right, my God, yeah.
That, nah, like, it's When I say, let me see, that last is probably my favorite joint on there. He got a
Kalani Dirty and Blast. Dirty Whining in the Desert is hilarious.
Hey, it's sick, but boy, when I say that motherfucker, it was a vibe. It was fun. It's a couple bangers on here, bro. And honestly, so the joint with Roller Coaster, or it's called Roller Coaster, but it's a J Balvin feature. Mm-hmm. That shit was actually very, very interesting to me because, you know what I'm saying, you got the Latino culture mixed with the African culture, the Burna Boy calls it that Afro fusion. Sorry, I can't talk to him. Like his genre of music. So like putting them two together, it was very, very interesting. But I fuck with it heavy. Listen to that and tell me how you feel about it. But it's definitely a vibe for sure. That's what I've been listening to.
That sounds like an awesome collaboration.
I was definitely like shocked to see it, like not shocked because like I didn't think it would happen, but just like shocked because like one, I'm like, you know what I'm saying, like, not crazy. Yeah exactly and I mean certain songs, just because in especially in this genre, the Afro beats or whatever you want to call the genre, I am a very lyrics driven person, you know what I'm saying, so a lot of that shit I can't understand. A lot of shit is like heavy accent driven, heavy whatever, and it's cool because the beats go crazy, but like on top of that, I gotta know what you're saying for me to like really like tap into a type shit. So it's a little harder for me to get into that kind of music. But like, nah, this shit right here, I don't care what the nigga's saying. This shit sounds great. It sounds immaculate.
I'm definitely adding that to my dossier in terms of music I need to catch up on.
It's cool.
I'm trying to think what else came out of music. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the group called They.
Yeah.
I love Dante Jones.
Yeah.
They dropped a single called Comfortable featuring Fanta Hughes. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I got to send you that. I don't know if you've taken a gander at that yet, bro, but this is something that you need in your Serato. Definitely some barefoot vibes, sipping some wine with your lady.
Yeah.
The evening, you know what I'm saying? The sunset. This is it right here. So, and to the people listening out there, tap into this record if you haven't heard it. But I'm excited to see what they have coming because they haven't dropped in a few years. I think the last project they dropped was called The Amanda Tape. And here it is right here, The Amanda Tape. It dropped in 2020. So it's been a few years. And even that album, I fucked with. You know, they had Wale, Juicy J on that album. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see what they have coming in the near future.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely tap into it, see what they got going on. I did actually stumble upon this, and I don't know how because it's not in my bag, but I did see that you took a gander at it too, the Towards the Moon EP.
Which one is my August 08?
Yeah.
So
I was looking for some new Janae, and I seen that she was a feature on one of them, so I took a gander at the project. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. Like I'm definitely like, you know what I'm saying, I gotta take a couple more listens. But like on initial listening, I'm not mad at it at all. Like it's very chill.
Yeah, I didn't have the bandwidth to go through the entire project. You know, I did make it to track 3, Impatient, but the first 3, I'm fucking with. You know what I'm saying? What I try to do, because I told you it's just so much music that hits us on the daily now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of hard to like listen out for a year of something new, but at the same time, still check for the people you care about and go back and listen to the music that you already have on your playlist. You know what I'm saying? True. I'm a man of, I have my classics that I consistently listen to every other day, you know, whether that be the 90s, 2000s. Mm-hmm. Again, I know what's in my Serato, so I'm only just adding to it or just continuing to just vibe out with my Serato. So
that's really that. I don't know if you've seen too, but, and this is honestly, I don't know how to feel about it because I don't know like what his intention is behind it or like what like creative back he's trying to get into. But Kid Cudi dropped basically the same music that has been out for the last 2 decades.
Mm-hmm. I was perplexed. I didn't understand what the release was about.
And it's a volume 1 too. So I'm trying to figure out like what are you putting with this? Because normally, like, well, not normally, but for the past like couple, I guess, like, I'm saying, like, creative ventures he's had, they've been either driven because of music or film or like a kind of a mix between the two type shit. but it hasn't been anything like new for real. It's just been like the nostalgic, we're gonna spin the block on what you've done for culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested to see what this turns into, because why? Like I've had all this in the bag forever now. Literally ever. But yeah, we're gonna see. But that was really all that I had for like music for real, that I, you know what I'm saying?
Likewise, you know, I didn't really have much there for the music scene. I don't know what other big artists are expected to drop in the coming weeks, because we are in summer. So these are the big acts, you know. So we'll see.
The man who shall not be mentioned on this pod is dropping. I don't know when. But we're supposed to expect something from Mr. West in the fourth quarter of 2022.
So towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I think he's been laying low since Donda has dropped. You know? That was the beginning of this year, or was that the end of last year?
That was the beginning of the year. Was it? Donda 2 was the beginning of this year.
Okay, let me see.
I think. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Time be flying, man. So yesterday was like 2 years ago.
He actually was featured on a Cardi B joint. I didn't really fuck with it.
I heard it wasn't cohesive. Let's just say that. I just heard
him and Dirk.
Big names. Yeah. But I will say I do like what Dirk is doing. He's trying to separate himself from quote unquote the street niggas and trying to make himself for real, one of those unicorns. You know what I'm saying? Like the records that he's on now. He's not just going to the hood and doing the features. Now he's featuring with Kanye, featuring with Cardi B. So these are not even respectable people, but their following is just already egregious. So this just only adds to his. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's time to diversify. It's time to do a little bit more, especially when it comes to that conversation about like staying relevant over the years. Doing, you know what I'm saying, things that you're not normally doing, or like, you know what I'm saying, something that you haven't tried before, is definitely like I think one of those key components in staying relevant, and then just kind of like diversifying your demographic for real, because that's the only way you do stay relevant.
Yeah, and Donda was actually November of last year, so
okay got you.
That doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
I'm not gonna say I'm anticipating it, but I do wanna see, you know what I'm saying, what he's hitting on, see what type of time he's on, just to see if maybe we get a little dose of the old Kanye. Maybe we get some pressure. Maybe we get some, you know what I'm saying, some heat. That's not like either like emotionally driven or shit, religious driven, like, you know what I'm saying, type shit. So definitely interested.
Yeah. But we can go ahead and pivot and just kind of segue into what else is going on out there that's important, quote unquote. Twitter sues Elon Musk to force them to complete acquisition. So Twitter has sued billionaire Elon Musk in an effort to force him to follow through with his deal to buy the social media company. The lawsuit filed in Delaware Court of Chancery on Tuesday comes after Musk said in a letter to Twitter's top lawyer late Friday that he wants to terminate the blockbuster $44 billion agreement. Musk's lawyer alleged in a Friday's letter that Twitter is in material breach of multiple provisions of the deal, claiming the company has withheld data Musk requested in order to evaluate the number of bots and spam accounts on the platform. Twitter's legal team hit him back in a letter on Monday, calling Musk attempted termination invalid and wrongful, claiming that Musk himself has violated the agreement and demanding that he follow through with the deal. And this is a whole newsletter that's on CNN Business, so y'all can check that out also. But I remember this when this came out in early April, that he announced to purchase Twitter, or was trying to purchase Twitter. Now the fact that he's moonwalking and trying to renege on this, how do we feel about it? You know what I'm saying? This is a $44 billion deal.
So, to my knowledge, it sounds like inflation on Twitter's part. It sounds like they might have, you know what I'm saying, kind of capped a little bit on the numbers, the analytics, you know what I'm saying? Because from the bots to you know what I'm saying, everything that makes the app attractive when it comes to acquisitions and mergers and shit like that. If I'm gonna give you, if I'm Elon and I'm giving you 44 B's, hey, you better stand on what you stand on. Like, it can't be cap. So I mean, I don't know. It's interesting.
I'm in concurrence. You know, if Twitter fabricated their numbers to make it look appetizing for Elon Musk to make this big of a purchase, then it's going to be a lot of court shit going on. You know what I'm saying? I understand that he probably signed his name on the dotted line, but if y'all lied in between that time, or, you know, something that wasn't in the contract, I need to go back and revision that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? These are $44 billion that we're talking about. It's not just a $1 million deal.
I don't think you want to go to war with Elon, for real, because I feel like he's firing rockets from space. Like, I think he's killing Twitter if it came down to it, for real. Like, I don't know if that's something you want to do. I don't know who owns Twitter at this moment, but.
Yeah, I mean, he does have a ton of financial leverage, as we both know.
I mean,
I'm just interested to see how it plays out. You know what I'm saying? Because he's, from what it sounds like, he already signed his name on a dotted line.
So right.
Once you sign your name on that contract, how can you renege from it, regardless of what they did or what they didn't tell you? And I guess that's where his lawyer and the courts get involved and trying to figure out this situation.
No doubt.
I don't know.
I'm very interested to see how that goes, because I feel like anything that Elon puts on the interweb, niggas is eating it up. Like, niggas is really like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, what he says is law, so we're going to go with that. Elon is Elon. And he could buy the planet if he wanted to. I don't know.
So it says the deal is now likely headed for a lengthy court battle to determine whether Twitter can force Musk to close the deal and become its owner, or at least get him to pay the $1 billion set out as a breakup fee in the original agreement. So even if he cancels the deal, he still has to pay a billy,
bro. That shit is so crazy.
That's like, nasty.
They said they wasn't leaving. They leaving with something. Twitter leaving with something. If it's not Elon, I need a billy from you, bro. I need a big billy from you. That's crazy.
Oh my god.
And I feel like because of that reason being a clause in your contract, there had to have been some bullshit going on, bro. Like, you telling me that if I agree to sell you, you know what I'm saying, something, and it turns out that your product ain't, bro, you telling me that you still want some bread from me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just from conversing with you? Nah, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
I'm a fuck with you.
Facts, bro. Like, they Twitter really owns some shit, and I'm going on Twitter and I'm gonna tweet that shit too.
Every time I see Elon Musk's name in the news, bro, I feel like a peasant, bro. You know what I'm saying? We already struggling. This man got billions.
No, that's facts. That's facts. Exactly. And I don't think, like, people really don't understand, like, the difference between a mil and a bill, bro. Like, a million is a million. A billion is 100 million millions, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, and that man has more than 44 of them. Like, that's freaking ridiculous.
Some people may think I sound like an idiot when I say this, but realistically, I don't want $44 billion. I don't even know what I would do with myself with $44 billion. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, able to sustain, I don't know, wealthy is relative, right? Everybody has a different nominal fee when it comes to money. But if I'm a billionaire already, cool. For me to have additional billions after that, that's just icing on the cake to me. More icing on the cake. So I don't know. I just want to be able to get to a point where I can take care of myself, take care of my friends, family, close ones, and just chill. So I don't think it takes $1 billion for me to get there. And the likelihood of me, you, or whoever listening to this pod of getting $1 billion is slim to none, if we want to be honest, even to be a millionaire. Not saying it's not possible. It's definitely possible to do, as we've seen over the years, over the decades,
I should say. Before my soul leaves this realm, before my body leaves this earth, I'm touching the billy.
Okay?
I'm touching it. Like, I need that. I need that, because I just want to see, like, so the plan, you know what I'm saying? And obviously, you know what I'm saying, plans never go the way you want them to. But, like, the plan is to get that billy and then get a couple more, so that even if I throw a couple billies to anywhere, anybody, I'm still set up to, like, recoup and get another bill back type shit. I just want to see what it feels like.
And when you're a billionaire, when you get in that status, bro, it's not even you going to the table. You are the table. So I just feel like the target you're immediately going to have on your back as a billionaire. Because all the billionaires in the world are listed somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's Forbes or I don't know what fucking list they have for it. But I don't know. It puts unwarranted and unwanted attention onto you just because of the amount of success you've had financially. So
you definitely you're right in a sense. You're because, you know what I'm saying, all that is common knowledge. All that is, like, you know what I'm saying, public information. Like, it's sick how I could literally go on the internet and find out exactly how Jay-Z is spending his money right now, if I wanted to. And it's so none of my fucking business.
Yeah.
It's none of my business. But at the same time, like, because of the system, the institution that we live under, privacy is not a real thing. And because you have access to certain things that, you know what I'm saying, put you in the 1% of the 1%, they're gonna want a piece of it. And with that always will come some type of strife, some type of trial, some type of, you know, hurdle that you got to get over, whether it is with the public, you know what I'm saying, whether it is with just regular people or the government, because everybody going to want a piece of something.
I'm going to let you know now, the day you become a billionaire, the hashtag dinner with the Brochillians or $1 million is going to pop up. And I wonder which one they're going to choose. But I'm letting y'all know, choose the money.
Nah, don't choose the money. Don't choose the money. Choose the dinner. Choose the dinner so that all you niggas that looked at me crazy when I said it, I'm gonna look at you and I'm not gonna say a word. I'm gonna have a fat check sitting on the table that got like 7 zeros on it. I'm not gonna say a word.
Shit, you have dinner with us, I'm gonna be like, yeah, that Chris Brown album was crazy, right?
Exactly. What? Come on. Yeah, I just bought a rocket. I'm going to Mars in 2 days. You know what I'm saying? It take me about 2 mil to fill up the tank. I would invite you, but, you know what I'm saying, it's a one-seater. Okay. All right, so, hold on, I got a question. And I want to circle back to music for a second, because I just seen this on social media. It was a conversation between T-Pain and Academics. And T-Pain said that if rappers like Tupac and Biggie were still alive, they would get eaten up. They couldn't compare to music now solely because of social media. How do you feel about him saying that? Like, do you agree? Do you disagree? Like, would they be able to measure up in terms of, like, music going hit for hit now because of what everything we have going on?
Yeah, I disagree with T-Pain. First and foremost, you know, everybody has their own pocket. So it's going to be a community of people that subscribe to Tupac, to subscribe to Biggie. It's going to be some people that don't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's just the music. It's art. So it's made to be critiqued, liked, disliked. Cool. But did we hear their first couple albums? Like, it's, I don't know. Is T-Pain, like, T-Pain, did you hear their first couple albums they dropped?
I'm sure he did.
With that being said, I guess he's talking about the social media standpoint of people reviewing the album, saying it's garbage, basura, whatever. It's just popular to hate. That's just simply what it comes down to. You know, within a few minutes of a huge artist drop, and it can be Hov, it can be Beyonce, it can be Nicki Minaj, they're going to kill it on the timeline within the first 5 minutes. It's going to be trash emojis. They're going to say, this is garbage. What is this? Or they're going to champion it, right? It's people are fickle, and so is the internet. So I think they would be able to last, for one, because of the volume they were producing at from when they were alive. And for two, I don't know, their friend bag. Like, come on, Biggie, he had Mace, he had Diddy, he had plenty of artists that he was collaborating with, and so did Pac. You know what I'm saying? Death Row, Snoop. We can get into it all day, but I don't know. I think they would be fine. I don't know if they would be making music at this point, because if they were still alive, they would be 50 plus years old. So I don't know if they would still be wanting to put out music. But it's hard saying that when they're not here. And too, kind of looking at it, if Biggie and Pac were alive, realistically, I think they're stopping making music by the mid-2000s. And that's that. That's that. I see them being in more of a mogul stage at this point in 2020 if they were alive, in my opinion.
It's an interesting take.
Because if I'm Pac, I'm looking at the people on the West Coast. I'm looking at the Kendricks. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at the Dom Kennedys. I'm looking at everybody who, you know, got some kind of influence from either Death Row, myself, or, you know, just L.A. L.A., you know. And if I'm Biggie, it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, New York hasn't been on top for a while. You know, music has been dominated by Atlanta for the past almost two decades, if you ask me. But
I wouldn't even say just Atlanta. I would just say the South. But more of Atlanta, true. Now, what I will say is, because, and I know he's not like dropping albums anymore, but he did just drop a single, a couple singles actually. Because we still have Diddy, I don't think that the Biggies and the Pacs of the world would have dropped out of the race. I feel like they would still be making music. I don't know, but
making music. If they're making music, it's not loosely. It's once in the blue moon. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be the equivalent to Jay-Z dropping an album.
Okay.
Because at this point, Jay-Z is still around. His presence is felt, but he doesn't have to put out a record to know what's going on with Hov. Like, we see it. You know what I'm saying? Or we hear about it. Or we see business-wise what he's doing on that level. So I think it would kind of be the same for Pac, for Biggie. They'll be trying to develop artists, start their own label. Maybe something on that magnitude, you know? These are all just hypotheticals.
So this might be a hot take, and I might be on Gilligan, and I might be canceled, right? Mm-hmm. But you know me, you know how I give it up. I don't know necessarily, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to like pigeonhole him, Tupac, as a person, as an artist. But I don't know if he's keeping up with somebody lyrically like Lil Wayne. I don't know if he's doing it. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm Tupac till I die.
No, that's, I mean, for one, guy, you know, it's always the argument. People say, you know, Pac is not from LA to begin with. So
very true.
That. For two, Pac was more of a feeling when it came to music, when it came to inspiration behind the music. It was never his bars, his lyricism that people would jump out the window for. With Wayne, he's punch bar God. So.
Yeah.
It's no comparison to that, because he is one of the few that's a deity when it comes to lyricism.
What do you stand on? As a Pac, let's say Pac was still alive and he was still making music. What do you think he would stand on? Like catching a beat, riding a beat? Or is it I'm telling stories, because that's what they were doing back then? That's a lot of what they were doing. Or is it just like, you know?
I think it would be the continuation of narrating what's going on in not just his community, but in all of our disenfranchised communities. You know what I'm saying? Like, he came from poverty. He came from struggle. He came from that lifestyle. And so as many of the other people that listen to not just his music, but that listen to hip hop. And so hip hop is popularized now. You know what I'm saying? Because it's crossed over to all cultures in life. But I think he would still continue to carry the torch of, you know, police these politicians being cruel and horrible people. Like, it's all of those things fall under that umbrella when you talk about Pac.
Got you. Okay. Now, I just wanted to tap your brain, see how you felt about that.
Otherwise, you think otherwise? What you think Pac would be spewing?
So I think when it comes to like we were just talking about, when it comes to staying relevant, certain things you kind of have to change. Like, you can't necessarily stick to the same bag that Old Faithful has already rocked with. You know what I'm saying? Like, prime example, Juicy J has stayed relevant for I don't know how many fucking years, and he has not done, you know what I'm saying, the old 36 Mafia bag type of music. He hasn't, you know what I'm saying? That's not what's kept him around.
He's found a way to rebrand himself.
Exactly. So I don't know if necessarily, like, yeah, because a lot of that is still going on in our, you know what I'm saying, community today. What Pac was rapping about back then. So it would probably still be, you know what I'm saying, a big topic in conversation, but at the same time, is that what's keeping you as an artist around? Is that what's keeping you, you know what I'm saying, on the charts, you know what I'm saying, in media and all that extra? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying, like, you know what I'm saying, it would definitely be the same pocket as always, but I'm in between it, because what works works. You know what I'm saying? And that changes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, but that's an extreme. That's a far off, because obviously, you know what I'm saying, we don't have pocket anymore.
I don't know. Interesting thought, T-Pain. You know, I'm not mad at his position on it, because it's all opinionated. I'm just looking at it in terms of their age and mm-hmm. the level they were already on when they were murdered.
For sure. I don't know. We'll see. That was the only thing that I had that I was wanting to circle back to when it came to music, though.
So have you seen this Thor movie?
No, I have not seen it yet, but I want to really badly, because I've been hearing that this is like one of the best Thor movies
out of all of them. I heard that shit was ass.
Really?
Bro, even looking at the trailer, it looks garbage.
I mean,
the CGI looks like a dumpster fire, bro. Let's be honest.
I saw the trailer, and I will definitely say that they definitely, you know what I'm saying, pushed the goalposts when it came to the CGI. They definitely were reaching when it came to a lot of that shit. But at the same time, too, though, you know how they be doing these trailers. They either put the best or the worst parts of the movie in there. So I feel like that's not an accurate depiction of what we're going to see. I don't know.
That may have some validity to it. I do have some Marvel head friends, for real. And so them seeing it and them telling me, like, bro, it's not it. You know, yeah. They felt like, and forgive me for not remembering the actor that plays Thor, but they were saying they dumped him down so much in this movie. It wasn't even laughable, bro. It wasn't comical at all. It was just disrespectful, because if you go back in time and read those comics and read who Thor really is, mm-hmm. he is one of them, bro. He is a deity. He is the god, bro, for real. So I don't know. I still want to see it for myself, but I think they started that train of him being an idiot, quote unquote, for mm-hmm. the past few Marvel movies. You know what I'm saying? When it started with Avengers, it started with those movies. Because it's one thing making a joke, but then they just took it far left with him. They just make him feel, I don't know.
Now, what I will say is I definitely am in concurrence with some of that. Like the writing for a lot of these like paramount characters to this universe, this Marvel universe, it has been very like diluted since the loss in RIP, but the loss of Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm gonna chop it up to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna just leave it there, because I haven't seen it yet still. But you are right. It has been dwindling. But
are they on a losing streak? Because again, look at every movie that has come out after Avengers, the Infinity War, Endgame. Look at every film that's came out. You know, yeah. Spider-Man that came out last year, I loved it. You know, people had mixed reviews about it. I loved it. You know what I'm saying? Doctor Strange was cool. I was expecting a bit more. It was okay. Thor, I'm already jaded coming into the movie, not just because of people's opinions and ideologies about it. But again, I'm just looking at the trailer. I'm just seeing, like, what kind of shit is this?
So I won't say a losing streak, because I feel like a lot more than just the realm of filmmaking. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's a lot more that goes into that specifically than we know. Just because, like, one, you gotta understand the most prominent way that the powers that be release information and things that they may not have wanted us to know straight out, flat forward, you know what I'm saying, is through film. So what I will say is the fact that they've turned the universe into what it is, being going from those first 25 to 27 Marvel movies, now we go to spin-offs into TV shows that connect to movies, that connect to different shit. It's like a whole like web of okay, how do I follow this? And how is it in tune with the comics? And on top of that, like throwing shit in the movies like Illuminati and just a lot of other bullshit that is worldly and not just like, you know what I'm saying, in the comics, but worldly news mm-hmm. that we're living through, all that, like, you know what I'm saying, mixed up together, it has like shown like the industry's true colors, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is like, we know what y'all are getting at, and it's kind of fucking up the series, it's fucking up the universe, it's fucking up the Marvel, you know what I'm saying, the Marvel realm, just because, like,
yeah,
I just love movies. I like the comics, but like, I just love movies. But at the same time too, though, a lot of that shit has been lost because of, you know what I'm saying, Stan Lee's, like, just presence in whatever, writers boards, you know what I'm saying, production sets, all of the above. Like, it's just, it's different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, give me Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I know that's coming out. Is that next year? Does that come out next year or the year after?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. Give me that. And that's really about it right now for me when it comes to the Marvel Universe. I think their peak was Endgame, Infinity War. Those are staples, and not just the history of Marvel, but just in movie history, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Those crack at least somewhere in my top 10, top 15 movies of all time. So it's going to be hard to compete with that.
No doubt.
Shit, I was just watching Pulp Fiction yet last night and this morning. That's damn near my favorite movie of all time, bro.
Nah, that man Kaiser Sose was ridiculous.
You talking about Usual Suspects?
Yes, those two movies, Usual Suspects and the one that you just mentioned,
Pulp Fiction.
Those two are probably like my definitely top two of all time. I would say that.
This is a tasty burger.
Yeah, it seems in both of those movies that are like literally like the best work ever. But I haven't seen Pulp Fiction in a minute. I was watching Usual Suspects maybe like a week ago though. That's why I said that. But yeah, nah, them two movies go crazy. I think the first time when I really got into Pulp Fiction was when I watched it at 1893 casino. Because them two movies was his shit for real. But yeah, nah. Those are very, very, I feel like if we didn't have certain movies, we wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the history of movies, if we didn't have certain films, certain work from specific people, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be like the fandom of films wouldn't be what it is. Like, it'd be a lot worse, I feel like. Because if we didn't have actors like Denzel, if we didn't have actors like, you know what I'm saying,
Samuel.
Or writers too, like Tarantino or anybody in that era, mm-hmm. it would be so much worse. Because the movies now, like outside of Marvel specifically, but just like genres of film, movies now are so like
cream of wheat. Cream of wheat.
Yeah, facts. They suck. Like the I don't even know what you want to say in English, but the mise-en-scene, the what goes into making a movie and how you're supposed to write in terms of the brain connecting the dots, not necessarily spelling out every little thing and making it just very dumbed down. It sucks now. That's like a lot of what movies are.
I think it's a culmination also of the movies are starting to become very obsolete. And this didn't start within the past couple of years. I think it's been like that before COVID, you know?
Oh, yeah.
People don't go to the movies as they usually did. You know, streaming is something that we have from the tip of our hands, literally, whether we want to watch that on our phone, you know, these new streaming platforms, HBO Max, Paramount Plus, they have these films come out and be in the movies for a few weeks, and they come straight to streaming platforms. You can pay and watch it from the comfort of your house.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And people still pirate out there also. They're going to find websites and things of that nature to watch the movies for free. And I don't blame them. You know what I'm saying? You go to the movie theater now, like you're getting overcharged for the ticket. Ticket right. used to be $10, $12 back in my heyday. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to sound like an OG, but now you buy a ticket, you buy one for your shorty, you already have $50 for the ticket. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't sneak any snacks in, you got to pay for a bucket of popcorn.
And, I will say, huh? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're going to pay for that $30 fucking drink.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I don't blame people. That's a $100 date now.
I will say, like, so from a film industry head and from somebody that's currently working in it, like, to keep up with the loopholes that are, you know what I'm saying, these websites that show these movies for free and whatever, before the streaming platforms, like, you know what I'm saying, before we had HBO Max, like, there are websites that you could go to and you could watch new movies on online and shit like that. To keep up with that kind of stuff, I understand, like, to continue making your bread in the industry, I understand them coming up with these streaming platforms, but at the same time, I feel like it was a make or break for the nostalgic going to the movies, and or Blockbuster, like we was talking about last week, or like shit like that. Like, it was a make or break for that, because it's a different world we live in. And me, you know what I'm saying, I show my age too. I'm the type of motherfucker that would buy, you know what I'm saying, one movie at the movie theaters and sit in that motherfucker all day, just movie hopping type shit. Like, I am that type of person, just because I like the feel of being somewhere else and not at the crib always watching movies type shit. Granted, I do have every single streaming platform, but I'm still going out and buying these tickets to watch the movies. Now, I ain't taking nobody on no dates, though, because them shits is expensive. But sitting at the movies or going to the movies is an easily $100 date. Easy. Yeah. Especially if you live in Atlanta.
Yeah. But I don't have anything else for the TV. I know people been going crazy about Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I can keep that garbage to me. You know, I seen the first season. I couldn't really get into it like that. So
Yeah, me.
I can't even call it garbage. Let me move on. I can't even call it garbage. I'll just say it's not for me.
Nah, I definitely feel you. I haven't watched it either, and I don't plan on watching it. It's just some of that stuff gets a little too weird. It gets a little too demonic. It gets a little too alien. Like, and I'm like, that's not my type of bag. Like, it's cool. And I understand that there is like a fandom for it, but
individuals right now, it's just everything be hype. People just be hype beasts. You know what I'm saying? You just jumping on the bandwagon because everybody else and their mama's talking about it. That's all.
For sure. I'm trying to think. Like, I haven't even really been watching anything specific for real. Like, not no shows. I just been picking and choosing, you know what I'm saying, just random movies and shit. But I do, like, I have been going back to a lot of shit that I've already seen. I think I just like doing that type of shit, because the movies back then were way better. But it's, I don't know. The film world is a very interesting place now, just because I feel like it's agenda-based. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely how can we, instead of, you know what I'm saying, pushing the envelope in movie culture and making things that actually, like, make you think, mm-hmm. or kind of, like, pique your interest in terms of just creativity, it's more so of how can we appease the powers that be? How can we, like, subtly get this off without doing too much? Or how can we, you know what I'm saying, like, just kind of, I don't know, make secrets a little bit more, or a little bit less secret and a little bit more apparent to the free world type shit, just because knowledge is power and there's so much things that are going on without us, like, regular citizens knowing. So they gotta find a way to do it.
Hell yeah. Did you have anything else for the TV / movie realm?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to talk about Thor. Yeah, that was it. I'm gonna go see that this weekend, and then next week we're gonna come back. And if you've seen it by that time, we can chop it up.
Definitely looking at it in the next few days. Definitely. Again,
okay, cool.
I was just on a work stretch of 6 days in a row, and I didn't have time for myself.
So nah, I feel you. Yeah, that's fact.
That came down to. Real quick though, I just wanted to kind of touch on sports. Kind of wanted to throw some jabs at Murray real quick. You know what I'm saying? We had our fantasy football draft. Me, him, and a couple of other homies. I'm excited for the NFL season, bro. We're not that far away.
Yeah.
And I can share real quick a couple of the pieces that I have on my roster to let you know.
I'm coming.
Let me know. I got Herbert as my quarterback.
Okay.
Man, I got Cooper Kupp as receiver. Mm. TJ Hockenson as a tight end. Claypool from Pittsburgh, receiver.
Okay.
Brandon Ayuk. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's fine. He's supposed to have a breakout year.
Who is he playing for?
San Fran.
Okay. Got you.
I got the Bills defense, and I got Justin Tucker as my kicker. So I don't know, bro.
Okay. Interesting. The Bills defense? Ooh.
Listen, I want the throne. Words to Killmonger. I want the throne.
So what Mari say? What was
I mean, it was some trash talk. I can read you off his roster. Let me see.
I want to see. Because this is interesting. And actually, shout out to Mari for real too, though, because I meant to hit him back because he sent me the invite to it. But you know, I don't really like dig into that kind of like stuff. Yeah. But
hey, man, I will cap though. Yeah, Matt Stafford, Melvin Gordon, James Conner, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel. Oof.
Okay. So nah, it's gonna be some pressure. It's definitely gonna be some pressure.
It ain't something to just look away from.
Yeah, it's gonna be some pressure.
You gotta squad away too. But I don't know. This is around the time where I'm in a couple of different fantasy leagues. We start having these drafts this year around this time. And so it starts to get really competitive, trash talk, just kind of getting into that mindset. You know me, bro. I love when the fall is approaching because college football and NFL is here. So
I'm definitely intrigued to see how that goes. You know my team. I think we talked about it. SC is entering the Big Ten, and then I've always been an Ohio State fan for real. So we're gonna see how that go.
I mean, a couple of years, right? UCLA and USC.
Yeah, and that level of competition is something completely different when it comes to them motherfucking monsters that are produced out of the South. It's very different. So I'm intrigued to see how they face that level of adversity, but no, I'm excited. Definitely excited.
What else was I about to say? I didn't have anything else for NFL news. I don't think so.
I didn't really have anything in sports this week for real.
Gronk, I don't know if we touched on it. Gronk retired. That was a while ago though.
Yeah.
But knowing him, I wouldn't be surprised if he came back. He just retires for PTAs and preseason, then he'll be back week two, week three.
It's low management.
It's low management. But that's all I have for the NFL. As far as NBA, I mean, Kyrie, Kevin Durant, they still haven't gotten traded.
Right.
There were rumors that, you know, Kyrie is still trying to go to LA actively. LA is trying to work out a deal, sending Westbrook to Brooklyn, but it's going to have to be a third team involved. Kevin Durant still hasn't. Well, they still haven't traded Kevin Durant, but I just feel like it's not a market for him right now. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to go to a team. And I know that sounds crazy that there's no market for him, but people are not willing to give up their whole franchise right now for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to take into consideration. He's, what, 33, 34 years old. He's still arguably the greatest player in the league, one or two. But you got to take into consideration, you know, how much time he has left, how much you have to pay him.
Right.
Leadership skills. It's a lot of factors.
Yeah, I don't think that would be too smart of a decision, really, if you trade away your whole franchise damn near for one player when you know what I'm saying, the level of competition in the league right now is just so evenly spread. It's so evenly matched. Like every team right now, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say every team, but most of the, you know what I'm saying, teams in the league are contenders for the playoffs just because they have so many pieces. So doing that for a KD is like, and only solely for a KD, is a little wild to me, in my opinion.
Utah, they're willing to listen to trades for Donovan Mitchell. That was new today. If I'm the Knicks or if I'm a Knicks fan, you know, this is something I would be trying to get done immediately, expeditiously. Why not? You have nothing to lose. Give them everything for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
He's still in the prime of his career. Why not? You know what I'm saying? Young guy, 24, 25 years old, one of the best shooting guards in the league. What do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Summer League's been on TV. I'm not sure if you've really been catching any of those games, but they've been on ESPN, ESPN too. So I should check those out.
I caught a glimpse of a couple. I went to a bar in my free time like this past weekend. But I do want to try to get out there and see if I can go to a game for real, because, you know, they're not far from me. Vegas not far from me at all. So I do want to see about that. I feel like that'd be an experience.
Right. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, did we talk about Malcolm Brogdon going to Boston? I think that's a huge addition for Boston, but nobody's talking about that. They can easily be back in the finals next year. People are, you know, screaming that Giannis is going to be back. Homeboy's going to be healthy. You know, the East is still strong. I'm not discrediting that, but again, man, Malcolm Brogdon, adding him to the roster, I don't think people really understand how nice he is.
I mean, so he's definitely a baller for real. But is it the chemistry that matters more, or like how they play together matter more, or is it just another piece of the puzzle that you add together?
I mean, it's definitely chemistry. That's going to be with any team. You know what I'm saying? You can add all the big names to a roster, but we've learned that that don't mean shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. If you don't have the camaraderie, if you don't have that foundation of playing together team ball, then you're not going to go anywhere. So I think just kind of looking at their roster, they're all selfless players. So, you know, Tatum is only going to get better in this offseason, hopefully. Brown had a strong performance in the finals. He's going to be back.
For sure.
Horford, savvy vet, he's coming back. So I don't know. You know, I look at their core. Marcus Smart is still there, defensive player of the year. They have a lot of potential. You know, they have a long way to go. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously the season hasn't even started, so they can't even look that far ahead yet. But just be on the lookout for Boston again. I wouldn't be surprised if they ran it back to the finals.
Listen, man. Again, I might be on Gilligan, but I'm caping for my team because they got this motherfucking monster.
Oh, you talking about the Clips? How can you not? Yeah, John Wall. I'm
caping for my team because that motherfucking John Wall gonna go nuts.
Even if it's 70% John Wall, you know what I'm saying? That would be more than enough to carry them to possibly a title. Kawhi Leonard is coming back healthy. PG. Oh, what?
Hey, man. Listen, I'm excited to see this shit go. Because that right there, that's a powerhouse. That's a powerhouse. If my guys go to the playoffs, hey, I'm happy. I don't care if they win the chip. I'm happy that they, you know what I'm saying, made it there. Because that's a step up from what they've been doing. And last season wasn't terrible. But I just think, like, with John Wall as a component, man, they're gonna be hard to stop. And obviously, you know what I'm saying, you have your Warriors, you have your Heat, you have your, you know what I'm saying, your Celtics. Like, yeah, they're going for sure. They're making an appearance somewhere for sure. But like, you throw in the Clips, come on.
Right.
I never switch. Can't do it.
Right. So I don't know. It's pretty exciting to see, you know, as always, free agency, how the frenzy goes. And I don't know. I think we're both ready for the season to see what's the new narrative going to be this year.
Oh,
Ja Morant, he did say something egregious. He said he can beat MJ in a 1-on-1 basketball, like MJ in his prime.
MJ in his prime.
Honestly, though, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at the confidence. Like, I'm going to say I could beat anybody in the world also. Shit, Michael Jordan's going to send my shit off the glass. He's going to eat my shit for lunch. But
that's an interesting comment, though. Like, I'm not mad at the confidence either, but, like, do you think – I don't know. Did MJ have bunnies like that in his prime? Like,
what?
No, like, more than Ja. I know he had bunnies, but I'm saying, like, Ja is a fucking freak.
Yep.
Listen, I'm asking. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Ja even has, you know what I'm saying, a slither of a chance.
Ja may have a bit more ups, you know what I'm saying? But if we're talking overall game, it's MJ. You know
overall game for sure is MJ. Definitely. I just feel like.
So on 1-on-1, the bunnies don't matter as much.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I'm not mad at the confidence. I know people were in an uproar about that too, but it's like, I mean, shit, I'll say the same thing too if I was in the NBA 22 years old dunking on everybody. Yeah, I can be MJ too. No doubt. What up?
No doubt, no doubt. Okay, is Ja and his squad competing against 95, 96 Bulls?
Come on. Come on. I will close this laptop right now.
I gotta ask.
The only team competing with them is the 73-9 Warriors team, possibly, or the one that had KD on it that next year.
Ah, okay. Interesting take. Okay. I'm not mad at it. That's funny. Nah, we're gonna see how that go.
Did you have anything else left on your docket this week, bro?
So I have this is completely off topic. This is random. I have a question. But in order for you to answer it for real, you gotta know what each part of it consists of. Cause I was having this conversation with my lady the other week. And it kind of like, I don't know, it made me think for sure. It definitely made me think. But so the question is, do you take yourself to be an alpha, beta, gamma, or sigma man? And why would you choose which one? And if you know, like, the I guess, like, what all that entails, like, the difference in each one, I guess, you know what I'm saying? You can answer it better. I just had to, like, look it up and like, differentiate more. But it kind of, like, had my mind dumping a little bit.
I feel like I have a mix of all of those qualities, you know what I mean? Like, for one, people talk about alphas, and when they think of alpha, they think of a man that's not even a man. They just think of somebody that's very, I think, very vocal, very boisterous, and meticulous with their thinking. But it's also the intangibles, also like listening skills. I feel like that's an alpha trait. You know what I'm saying? People listen to respond. They don't listen to comprehend. So, you know, it's small things I can pick from each one to say what I am, but I don't subscribe to one saying that, okay, I'm a beta or I'm an alpha. No, I think I'm a combination of all of them, man. Like, again, I'm very vocal when I need to be. I stand up for myself. I stand up for others.
Mm-hmm.
Very thought-provoking. Great listener. Phenomenal listener. And I think partially is because of doing this podcast. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer right now. I'll have to think about it. But what would you say? What did you say to her?
I told her, like, if I had to, so I think all of them definitely have, like, some type of similarities, but at the same time, all of them have, like, that one thing that makes it what it is. Like, I feel like an alpha is a person that has to win every time, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not taking a L, I'm not, like, whatever, like, I have to be on top. If I'm not on top, I'm not an alpha. I feel like that's that one quality that makes, you know what I'm saying, that one stand out. But I mean, my answer to her was, I feel like if I had to choose one, it would be a beta. And I feel like, I don't think any of them are, like, lesser than the other. I just think it's a difference in your perspective and, like, you know what I'm saying, the way that you think. Because, like, me, as a man, like, yeah, I'm very, you know what I'm saying, vocal. I'm very, like, you know what I'm saying, you know how I am. Like, I lead with confidence. I lead with love. Like, I'm not timid in any way. I'm not, like, somebody that gives up easily or anything like that. But it's, like, I don't have to be the one in the front every time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind it, and it doesn't, like, put any fear in my heart at all. But as a man now, and learning what I've learned, I listen more than I speak. You know what I'm saying? I don't move with, like, reacting. You know what I'm saying? I move with purpose and action. And it's not always the loudest, because I feel like sometimes not even proving a point, but, like, getting, you know what I'm saying, your point across or whatever doesn't have to make noise. You know what I'm saying? Like, And that's just what it is, especially in the world that we live in now. Like, you have to be very meticulous. So I would say, and then at the time too, when she asked me this, like, we literally, like, sat down and read through, like, the qualities of each one. Mm-hmm. So, like, I could pick and choose, like, which ones I was, like, you know what I'm saying, which ones I identify with more. And we actually sat down and wrote them down. So when it came down to it, it was like the way that I explained my character is more of a beta in that aspect. So I don't know. But then again, I feel like I do have like qualities, similarities in all of
these. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just feel like a lot of people think that like an alpha is an alpha and then a beta. And then again, I think it's like an alpha, beta, gamma type of person, because they're all different, but at the same time, they serve different roles. Like an alpha can't necessarily be, or there can't be, I guess if you go backwards, a sigma that is an alpha, because a sigma's, you know what I'm saying, place in that whole dichotomy serves a specific purpose. And maybe you're all alike, maybe you're all similar, which is why y'all can band, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, everybody plays a different role. And I think it's just like, you can kind of like juxtapose it against like most friendships. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's five of us in a group, but everybody links, everybody, you know what I'm saying, vibes well, we get along great, like, you know what I'm saying, we brothers and everything like that. But at the same time, Miles is Miles, Nick is Nick, you are you, I am me. We're all different pieces of that puzzle, but it's like it gels well. None of us are above each other, none of us are better or worse or whatever. It's just like whatever slack I lack, somebody else may pick up. And vice versa. So this is a little different. I don't know.
Yeah, we're closing in less than a minute here. So do you have any sleepers or anything?
Sleepers, nah, not really. Not this week for real. I've been spread so thin, bro. All I would say is, you know what I'm saying, continue to move with purpose, lead with love. Same shit that we've been preaching since day one type shit. You know what I'm saying?